Hey, good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Mo H., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Walnut Creek, California. Today is Thursday, June 29th. This is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. And today we are reading from the Big Book. We are on page 90 in Chapter 7, Working with Others, third paragraph. Sometimes it is wise to wait till he goes on a binge, ending with be glad to talk to him if he cares to see you. And today's readers are the 12 Steps, Kathy B., the 12 Traditions, Jody E., and the readers of the text are Eileen M., and Melanie is going to read A Vision for You at the end, page 164. The share ID for June 28th, the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, is 20,396. That's 20396. And for Thursday, June 29th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, is 20,398. That's 20398. Newcomer greeter is Lorraine N., and our announcements person is Leslie M. Thank you all for your service this month. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And here are the 12 steps which we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. And I will now ask Kathy B. to read the 12 steps. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning, Mo. My name is Kathy B. I am a recovered compulsive overeater. I live in Oklahoma. Step one, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all of these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for allowing me to do service this morning and for the month of June. Thank you.
And thank you very much, Kathy, for your service. And now I will now ask Jody E. to read the 12 traditions of OA. Good morning, Jody.
Good morning, Mo and everyone. This is Jody E., gratefully recovered in California. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Number one, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service centers, we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you very much, Jody, for stepping in there. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone again. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. And today we resume our study of the Big Book, and we are on page 90 in chapter 7, working with others, the third paragraph down. Sometimes it is wise to wait till he goes on a binge, and it ends with, who will be glad to talk with him if he cares to talk with you. And I will now ask Eileen M. to get us started. Good morning, Eileen.
Good morning. This is Eileen M. I'm a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater in New Hampshire. Sometimes it is wise to wait until he goes on a binge. The family may object to this, but unless he is in a dangerous physical condition, it is better to risk it. Don't deal with him when he was very drunk, unless he is ugly and the family needs your help. Wait for the end of the spree, or at least a lucid interval. Then let his family or a friend ask him if he wants to quit for good, or if he would go to any extreme to do so. If he says yes, then his attention should be drawn to you as a person who has recovered. You should be described to him as one of a fellowship who, through as part of their own recovery, try to help others and who will be glad to talk to him if he cares to see you. Now, I'd like to just look at that line, don't deal with him when he is very drunk. Wait for a lucid interval. I think that's very good advice because, you know, as it says in the doctor's opinion, the quote is, it is, you know, a man's brain must be cleared before he can be approached. Because, you know, the person won't be approachable if they're not thinking clearly. So the word lucid, you know, I look that up, it means having full use of one's own reasoning ability. It means to be clear-minded. You know, so if I just think that's so important because, you know, right after the person has had a binge, I think that's when you can really, I think for the person, you know, I'm just thinking of my own experience, is that's when I really saw the powerlessness, you know, that I had, you know, I was getting more information about how cunning, baffling, and powerful this disease is. And, you know, I remember my sponsor had me, she had me put together several days of entire abstinence so I could get clear enough to start the work. Because, I mean, in reality, you know, you really can't hear the sponsor if you are in the food. Or, you know, sometimes people would think they're abstinent, but they're holding on to some food that's causing the phenomenon of craving. You know, and that's interfering with really that sound reasoning. Yes, I just think that line is so important, is wait at least until they're thinking clearly. Because, you know, back in Chapter 3, more about alcoholism, you know, the two examples with Jim and Fred, you know, that I guess it was Bill and Bob, you know, continued to work with them even after they had had the spree. But they, you know, they waited till they were, you know, out of the spree, and then they asked them what happened. I thought that was really, really very significant. So thank you so much.
Well, thank you very much, Eileen, for getting us started. And I'll now remind everybody where we're at. We're on page 90, third paragraph down. Sometimes it is wise to wait till he goes on a binge. And it ends with, be glad to talk with him if he cares to see you. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you share it on either Tuesday or Wednesday, please wait until tomorrow. And I will now take the names of those who'd like to share.
Bruce E.
Good morning, Bruce.
Good morning.
Barbara A.
Rella.
R from Brooklyn.
R, Barbara A. I got Deborah G. Barbara A. Deborah G. Thank you, Deborah. Anyone else? Okay, I have Bruce E., Barbara A., Rella R., and Deborah G. Let's get going with that group. Good morning.
Good morning, Mo. Thank you very much. And I'm recovered Bruce E. in Southwest Florida, Fort Myers, Florida. Thank you for those serving on the line. Thank you for everybody on the line. I'm happy and grateful to be here. Very, very, very grateful. Very grateful to be recovered today. Very grateful. And so sometimes it's wise to wait till he goes on a binge. Ray, gotta wait for the... then after, you know, the guy goes on a binge, right? Then you still gotta wait for that sugar to clear out of his system. You gotta wait a couple days on that. Somebody told me the other day they wait a week for the person to be, once they stop, to wait a week till they have it all cleared out of their system. You know, try going and waking up a drunk on a park bench in downtown where you live and starting to talk to them about spiritual things. You know, it's pretty hard. But, you know, what I get on that is wait till he goes on a binge. So, in other words, the disease itself is going to bring him back. So that's what brought me into the program, was the disease. You know, the binging, the continuously doing that, the disgust with myself. Mad at myself, mad at everybody, because I kept going on binges, and that's what brought me back into the program when I left and stuff, was when I went on a binge. You know, it would bring me back, you know, because the binge would bring me back. So the guy, the guy comes back, you know, has a period of time for that sugar to clear his system. So he's not so drunk anymore. Pretty hard to talk to a drunk, and then it's reasonable to talk to him. And it says here, I had somebody tell me to circle the go through this whole chapter. He had to go through the whole chapter, I'm not sure. But he said every time, there's so many pages of it, every time you see an if, circle it. And there's two ifs in here. And it says here, let his family or a friend ask him if he wants to quit for good and if he would go to any extreme to do so. So I haven't asked that too much, but I think that's a great question. Ask somebody if they would go to any extreme. Are you ready to go to any extreme? Yeah, I have asked that to a few people, and they said, yeah, I'll do it, and then they weren't. But, you know, I think it's a good question. And but the disease is what brought me in. The binging is what brought me back into this program. And it beat me up, you know, the sugar and all the stuff beat me up.
Fine.
And that brought me back in. Thanks, Mo. And I'm glad to be here. Appreciate everybody. Thank you. And I pass.
Hey, thanks very much, Bruce E. from Florida. Barbara A., you're up next, followed by Rella R. Good morning, Barbara.
Good morning, Mo. Thank you. Thank you for your service. So grateful to be here. Grateful to be in recovery for today by the grace of God. I was reading, listening to everyone and remembering when I was in the food and I didn't want to be called by anybody. I didn't want to stop eating. I didn't want to be approached. I had to be in the food and I had to come to this conclusion that I didn't want to be there anymore. And I know it was because I would go to the meetings, even though I was picking up, I would listen to recovered people and there would be sponsors on the line every day, and I would take down their names, but I wouldn't call them. I can remember being in the food and someone calling me and saying, oh, I'm fine, yeah, my program's fine. I didn't want this. I had to become willing. We all know that. Willingness. I knew that. Wait for the end of a spree. Well, I don't know, I'm 66 years old. I've been on a spree for a very, very long time. I've put down, I've picked up, I've put down, I've picked up, I've lost 100 pounds, I've gained 100 pounds. I relate to what someone just said about going to any extreme. Was I willing to go to any extreme? The only thing I was willing to do is whatever my sponsor told me to do. I knew that she was recovered. I knew I wanted what she had. I wanted the neutrality from food. I wanted the serenity. I had to do what my sponsor told me to do to get through the steps. I had to put down the food. I've had the pleasure of working with sponsees who just weren't ready, and I understand because I wasn't ready either. I'm just grateful that I kept coming to meetings, kept listening to recovery, finally was willing to do what I needed to do to put down the food. I like that last line too. Try to help others who will be glad to talk to him if he cares to see you. Yeah. This is Barbara. Thank you. Thank you for letting me share.
Hey, thank you, Barbara A. Yeah, thank you very much. Rella R, followed by Deborah G, and after Deborah, I'll take another lineup. Good morning, Rella.
Good morning. This is Rella, recovering compulsive overeater in Brooklyn, New York. So this paragraph is so helpful in other areas, in many areas, about my desire to fix and help others would supersede my own desire to help and fix myself. And I would very often in the past not be aware of the receptivity. Is the other person even, the need for me to say what I needed to say to, you know, to help the other person and heal them and was greater than my ability to check in and see, are they receptive? Are they even wanting to listen? Are they hearing what I'm saying? And this is like a social skill that can be generalized in general, like check when I'm in dialogue with anyone, check for receptivity, check for the other person's interest level. But in this particular area, it's hard. It's painful to watch other people suffer, and they can be talking about how much they're suffering, and I want to say something. Sometimes I will gently put out, but mostly I try to remember that it's attraction rather than promotion, and use I statements like, you know, what's been helping me is the following. And sometimes people won't listen, and I've become much better at recognizing that time is a factor. It's not about me, not about my desire to fix, but it's about the other person, and they've got their own timetable. And some of it has come through seeing that same is for me. So I get annoyed if people come at me without checking whether I'm in the place or in the space to hear what they have to say, you know, unsolicited advice. So I appreciate this point extremely. And I also think this other point is significant. You should be described to him as one of a fellowship who has part of their own recovery try to help others. So that when I'm speaking to people and they are listening, I find it helpful to say, you know, you're helping me. It's helping me that I can talk about this, or I'm talking, really talking to myself when I'm saying this. I know that it makes me feel less burdensome if people say that by helping me, they're helping themselves. So grateful for the wisdom in this program and very prayerful. And thank you all for listening. I'll pass.
Well, and thank you very much, Rilla R. Before I take Deborah G., I'll remind everybody where we're at. We're on page 90 in Chapter 7 of Working with Others, third paragraph down. Sometimes it is wise to wait till he goes on a binge. And it ends with, who will be glad to talk to him if he cares to see you. And after Deborah, I will take another lineup. Good morning, Deborah.
Oh, good morning, Mo. Thank you so much for your service and everyone for their service and all the shares so far. Well, step in me. And welcome to all the newcomers. I'm so glad that you're on the line. This is a beautiful way to live. And I remember not being able to see that. I was in a workshop, and I knew I had one alcoholic food I wouldn't let go of. And in that workshop, it was either awareness or an honesty, got honest with myself that was an alcoholic food and said, I can't do this anymore. I got myself a vision sponsor and I went through the steps quickly and got neutrality and have since 2019. And I'm so grateful for that sponsor that did that with me. And I still have her. And so she has also help me to work with others. And when someone, you know, a lot of times I call newcomers or someone calls me to sponsor them. And a lot of times they're just newly abstinent or maybe, you know, a day or something. And I only ask that when we're doing the work that they're not in the food the day that we're doing the work. And because what's been shared about that, you know, I remember one time I tried to take someone through the steps that was drinking. It didn't work. It was fun. But anyways, I learned from that experience, you know, it just doesn't work. Like shooting mud out of a cannon. And, but anyways, I am so grateful that I have people in my life today, you know, that are open to being helped. You know, that are willing and honest. And I have sponsees that are like that. And I'm just so, so grateful. And thank you all for 12-stepping me today. That's all I have. Bye.
Thank you very much, Deborah G. So although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you haven't shared on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, you can share today if you shared. All right, who would like to share today?
Lori H. from Miami.
Lori H.
Vicky T, Florida.
Vicky T, Florida.
Jordan L in Colorado.
Jordan L.
Kelly T from Pennsylvania.
Kelly T.
Joe.
Anyone else?
Joe Marie M.
Gotcha, Joan. Okay. Joan Marie. We'll stop there. Joan Marie M. All right. So I have Lori H., Vicky T., Jordan L., Kelly T., and Joan Marie M. Okay, Lori H., get us started. Thank you.
Okay. Can you hear me?
I can. Loud and clear.
Hello, family. Lori H. From Miami, currently actually in California. And I'm grateful to be on this line this morning. You know, that is a perfect share because, you know, I really deign to be growing in understanding and effectiveness. And there are times when I'm on the phone with someone on an outreach call and I can just feel the void and that they're not really listening, you know, and more than that, when I'm face to face with somebody and they're either still in the food or unaware they're still in the food, or I can see that they're not grounded. They're not. I can look in their eyes. I can tell by their reaction that they're not hearing the message. And my time would be better spent carrying the message to someone that could actually hear it. So then I say that, you know, a prayer. You know, how can I be most helpful to this precious and beloved child of God? And at times they just need to just vent. And let some stuff go. I'm not real good at being the person that people vent with. And that comes from my own trauma from years of having people like just dump negativity on me and you know, feel like they were taking my good energy and all kinds of other things. When I know today I'm a channel, and this channel for that God, that hole in the soul is actually this beautiful channel that is for God's love to come through. And when I'm in that, I feel so full all the time. And, you know, however it may come out, even if it is that I can just stand there and be an open channel for them to use to let some stuff go, that helps. And I remember being in the food and how painful that was. And I needed that in the beginning. So at times I did not need somebody I felt like talking at me because I wasn't grounded. And I wasn't able to hear. And I still have times like that where I realize, oh my gosh, I'm not listening. I'm not grounded in this exact moment because I'm a time travel into the future, into the past. I can't be here in the now, but I can be. And it's one breath away and it's one hand over my heart and one thy will be done. And I pray that I may be continuously growing in understanding and effectiveness. Thank you for listening for a bit.
Thank you, Lori H. Vicky T, followed by Jordan L. Good morning, Vicky.
Hi, great. Thank you so much. So blessed to be part of this. I'm Vicky T. I'm recovered in South Florida, and what a great way to live, like someone else said. There's no coincidence. I call them God incidences that I'm sharing after the people that just shared, because I didn't even think about sharing about this, but then it was like, wow, wait, it just happened to you. I got fired today, not from my real job, from my spot, thank God, from my sponsee. And I took it personally. And my ego got big. Like, she doesn't think I'm fabulous and brilliant and fabulous and brilliant and adorable and funny and all those. This is not about me. This is about God speaking through me. This is about the message. And I did a 10 step on it, and I was really able to get ground back to earth. And thank you for that reminder about that. I just heard that shared, being the, you know, part of the message. For me, I wanted to share on the sentence that, you know, I would go to any extreme to do so. That was me for many years. I've been in OA for 34 years. Don't be impressed, because I've been more relapsed than recovery. And it's because I didn't go to any lengths. I did not go to any extreme. I took what I like and left the rest. And I left most of it. And this time around, I'm saying this on meetings, and I hope it's not inappropriate, but I got naked and rolled around in the steps. I mean, not really, but figuratively. I just immersed myself in this work, and I did it exactly the way it was written. And I never, in all those years, have had a spiritual awakening. I had spiritual moments, experiences, maybe. Never had neutrality around the food. I would listen to you guys speak, and I'd be like, what are they talking about? I always want to eat. I don't understand. I get it. I understand. This is real, and it happens if I go to any length, to any extreme. And now I am blessed to be able to give this back to other people. And I think, you know, I think having a solid step one experience is great, is so important. And I, you know, I was taught this time around that there's like four chapters. I didn't never knew that Bill, doctor's opinion, Bill's story, there is a solution, more about alcoholism. It's all step one. Never knew that before. What a concept. So having a really strong step one experience of being completely devastated by my binging and unable to stop was really an important place to get me.
Okay.
And then, thank you. And I'll stop there. Thank you so much.
Okay. Thank you very much, Vicki T. Jordan L. Excuse me, Jordan L. followed by Kelly T. Good morning, Jordan.
Hey, good morning, Mo. Thanks for moderating for us this morning. My name's Jordan L. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Colorado, and very grateful to be abstinent and on a meeting of Overeaters Anonymous on this beautiful big book study that saved my earth. this stuff is really important, and it's funny because I don't always see us following directions. And I'll like turn into this little kid where I'm like, wait a second, why isn't everyone following the directions? Why isn't everyone following the rules? and I get all like in a tizzy, right? and so when I look at this, it's just really, it's like a really important reminder. It's a really, really important reminder of how it is that this works, right? I think that, like, Alcoholics Anonymous and the 12 steps have been around for a while now, and we kind of take it for granted, you know? We're just kind of like, yeah, go to meetings, and and that'll get you there, you know? And my experience as both a real alcoholic and a real compulsive overeater is that that's not the case, you know? Like, when I was ready and my attention was drawn to someone who was recovered and I was taken through these steps, like, it truly shifted something inside of me. It truly shifted something inside of me in a way that has lasted, you know? Like, I'm, like, 6 years into this deal and still, like, very happy and content about being abstinent, you know? My alcoholic foods do not call to me. Like, I'm neutral. and now I identify as recovered, you know? And I identify as a part of this fellowship, very much so. and I identify very much as it is part of my own recovery to try to help others and try to share this message. And that I'd be glad to talk to anyone who wants to talk about it, you know?
Right.
And I, yeah, I'm just very, very grateful for this way of life, and that you guys are here trudging the road of happy destiny with me. And then I found a God personal to me through this work. So thanks for letting me share. That's it.
Hey, thanks, Jordan, very much. Up next is Kelly T, followed by Joan Marie M. And after Joan Marie, I will take some more names. Good morning, Kelly.
Good morning. My name is Kelly, and I am a compulsive overeater from Pennsylvania. I am very brand new to this program, and I try to get to this meeting regularly because I really like the big book, and I like listening to everybody. I won't take up a lot of time because I haven't gone through the steps, but I am listening to people, and over the last week, I started my meal plan, and I'm eating the food that I'm supposed to be eating, and it's amazing to me. I know I need the recovery in the steps for the spiritual awakening, but I have noticed so many changes in my body and my cravings. I don't feel like I have to eat continuously. It's amazing how my blood sugar is getting better control, and even my blood pressure and my sugar readings. Amazing. And in just a week's time. So those things have given me hope. And coming here and listening, you know, I apologize that, you know, I've had like 3 or 4 sponsors in OA, and I was coming in still on the food, as I hear it mentioned, and I was still eating, you know, the food alcoholically, I guess is what I've heard people say. So no, I wasn't able to, you know, to even pay attention to anyone. It was all self-will. It was my own self-will, and I wasn't, you know, ready. And I liked what someone said this morning, which kind of got me to think I need to share, is that, you know, it could take about a week or so. We have to be abstinent from the food. And I thought, wow, yeah, that makes sense to me. Yeah, it's interesting. And I'm really grateful to be here. And I feel so bad that I came into OA, you know, on the food, and I asked women to sponsor me, and then I fired them. And then I tried to get them back, and they all said, all of them said, no, they couldn't take me back. And I took that personally, but, you know, I guess it's a God thing. I guess the right person will come when it's time. So anyways, I'm just really glad to be here, and I really like this meeting. Thank you.
Hey, thank you very much, Kelly T. And before I take Joan Marie, let me remind everybody where we're at. We're on page 90, third paragraph down. Sometimes it is wise to wait till he goes on a binge. And it ends with, who will be glad to talk to him if he cares to see you? And after Joan Marie, I'll take a few more names. Good morning, Joan Marie.
Good morning, Mo. Thank you for your service, and thank you for all the shares. I don't think I have too much more to say that hasn't been said, but what really stood out to me was, were they willing to go to any lengths? Would they go to an extremes to get this? And that I have a neutrality around the food today because I was willing to go to any length. I called out in desperation to God. I could not stop on my own. I needed all that this program has to offer because there is neutrality right now. And my sponsor is awesome. And she gave me assignments. I did them willingly and glad to do them. Sometimes I didn't quite know the answers, but I would, you know, discuss that with her. She was very patient and loving, and she's still my sponsor, and we'll go on together. But I'm so grateful. That extremes, going to any lengths, going to the extremes, dreams, that really stood out to me. Am I willing? Do I want to quit? Do I need to quit? And to also say that, you know, I am a person that has recovered that couldn't before doing this. And that is a miracle. This whole program is a miracle. And it's God-centered. Not religious, but God-centered. It's a spiritual program, and it works. It really, really does work. If you work it, going to that extreme. So God bless everyone, and thank you for letting me share.
And thank you, Joan Marie M. from Nevada. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you haven't shared in the last 3 days, you can share today. Who would like to share? I could take maybe three more.
Hi, Mo. This is Lois P. I'd like to share.
Hey, good morning, Lois. Hi.
Hey, good morning, Mo.
Yeah.
Darcy M.
Darcy M. Anyone else? Real quick. If not, we'll get going. Okay, Lois, why don't you take it away for us?
Thank you, Mo. Thanks for your service. What's important to me in this paragraph is waiting for the suffering to really come to a crescendo. That's what happened to me, where I couldn't stand suffering any longer. And waiting for that moment in a person who wants to be sponsored, waiting to hear that in them, waiting to hear that the pain has become insurmountable. They cannot take it any longer. This is a beautiful moment. This is the moment when something cracks open, at least it did in me. And as they say, then the light can enter. You know, that's the moment when someone called me and immediately said, I'll sponsor you. And I was so thrilled because I was broken. So waiting until we hear that in a person is what I listen for when someone comes to me that wants recovery and has asked me to sponsor them. You know, are they desperate? Have they been fed up with all of the suffering they put themselves through? That's a beautiful moment, and I think that's the moment that I wait for to hear in others before I say yes, because I know that's what it took for me. And there are too many years that I wasted saying, yes, I'm in pain, yes, I need to change, yes, I'm ready to be sponsored, and I really wasn't. I wasn't ready because I hadn't suffered enough. So to me, having that last binge and, you know, suffering, to me has a great, it's a great asset in a way so that someone can change their life. That's what happened to me after that last bout with food and self-despair and all of the self-anger, all of that came up during that last binge, and I was totally destroyed by it, and it was a beautiful moment. That's when a rebirth can happen. So thank you, and thanks for your service, Mo, and I pass.
Thank you very much, Lois P. Next is Darcy M., and after Darcy, I may be able to take one more person. Good morning, Darcy.
Good morning. This is Darcy M. from Nebraska, compulsive overeater. I am very fortunate to have heard this today, because I am coming off of a very bad relapse that to the point that I had lost the feeling of my higher power. I had lost the feeling of God. I had knew He was there, but I couldn't feel Him anymore. And then someone suggested I do something, and gratefully, yesterday I did I followed their suggestion, and I got Him back. And there was such a good feeling I hadn't had in months. I had gotten my higher power back. And it was just a wonderful feeling again. And then to hear about that, and I felt like I had just gotten my head cleared. Of all the sugar. Although I had been binging, my head was still full of sugar, but my head was clear, and I was open to all the everything that I could take in yesterday. And I wanted to just shout from the top that I had gotten my higher power back. And I knew He was with. I knew He had been with me all this time, but I couldn't feel Him. And I had been in such a downward trend that to have that feeling come back, it was such a wonderful feeling that I just almost cried all day yesterday. It wasn't a sad cry. It was a cleansing cry. And anyway, I didn't get a whole lot done yesterday because I was I was just exhausted and everything, but I just want to share that there is that miracle out there, and the Big Book does work, because I couldn't even make myself go to a meeting unless I had to do some service, because I knew the service helped me, but I couldn't even make myself come to meetings. And but that the feeling does come back. He does. Our higher power doesn't leave us. He's always there. But to get him back after, I don't know, it's been 2 or 3 months. I don't know how long it's been. I didn't realize I didn't have him. But to get that back was such a wonderful feeling that I just had to share today. So I will end with that and just say thank you for letting me share it. And I wish everybody a good day today. And thank you very much for letting me share.
Thank you very much, Darcy. Yeah, please keep coming back. So we have time for one more share. We're on page 90, the third paragraph down. And if you haven't shared in the last 3 days, please press star one. Time for one more.
Carrie N.
Lorraine W.
I got Carrie N. Lorraine, come back tomorrow.
Okay.
Carrie N., you go.
Hi.
Thank you, Carrie.
Thank you. Just so grateful to be here on Vision. And I am in the recovering stage. And so when I read, then let his family or a friend ask him if he wants to quit for good and if he would go to any extremes to do so. If he says yes, then his attention should be drawn to you as a person who has recovered. And I am in the spot where, self-pity is a character defect of mine. And I am in this spot that I'm just so grateful that even when I'm, depending on what side of that question I am, that I get to keep coming back. That I get to keep listening to this message that is being brought to me by people who have recovered. That is a tremendous experience for me, that there is a progression for my recovery and there is an understanding that I need to come to and surrender that, like I said, I'm still... I still question, and I'm grateful to you all that I don't have to do it alone and that you can show me that it does work. So thank you so much.
And thank you very much, Carrie Ann. You'll be our last share for today. And thank you all those who gave service on this meeting for the month of June and all those who shared today. So we will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164. Followed by the Serenity Prayer. I can't remember who is reading.
Margaret G.
Oh, thank you, Margaret. We had so many changes this morning. Thank you, Margaret.
You're welcome. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then. Pass.